This is Mae Brussel, and it's Carmel, California, no longer on KLRB. The name of Dialogue Conspiracy is now being changed to World Watchers International, and I'll go into that further. The tapes will continue to be numbered on each side. There'll be a side one and two, but this is May the 26th, 1978, and this is tape number 323, because I will continue to give subject titles that I mail all across the country and to people outside of the country, and they may want to select certain subjects that interest them more than others, and therefore they will be carefully indexed, as I have done in the past. Well, I haven't indexed them that carefully, but the major subject that I've covered is listed of all the past shows since March of 1977. So I will be numbering the shows each week. Now, we are going into a different format. There are changes that I talked about, my reasons for going off the air on the other side of the tape. I consider Dialogue Conspiracy officially over. It was on KLRB for 7 years, KLRB FM. The program tape cassettes are available from March 28, 1977 up to the present. For a period of time, there were 45-minute tapes, and the prices and the subjects are available if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. Those people that just get this show but don't have the copies of the past shows. The Dialogue Conspiracy was from October 2nd, 1977 through May. Just last week, a 30-minute program. And I have a feeling that the people that listened originally a long time ago for 1 hour and then to 45 minutes received much less news, and it wasn't really satisfactory for me. And yet it's impossible on a privately owned station to have 1 hour of time without commercials or interruptions. And 30 minutes doesn't seem enough for those people that are really interested in getting the news. May the 26th, beginning with this particular cassette, we're leaving Dialogue Conspiracy behind after 7 years and becoming what I want to call the World Watchers International. I'm changing this name because I think possibly it could be built into a kind of an organization if there's enough energy. I may try to get it off the ground. If there isn't any energy into it, I'll drop the matter. But I would like to meet with various people, which I'll be doing in the near future, and see what we can do to get World Watchers into more homes, and my goal, of course, is to get tape cassettes into every home in America. I would love to see them at every supermarket like TV Guide so that we all could share this information instead of the constant brainwashing of the major media. I did want to make one correction on last week's tape. I was talking about Yvonne Burke running for Attorney General, and I mentioned Daryl Gates running with her. It isn't Daryl Gates. Daryl Gates is the man who was in charge of the Strangler investigation in Los Angeles, who worked in the police department about 20 or 28 years under Ed Davis, who's running for governor. Ed Gates was just appointed chief of police of Los Angeles. He assisted in the cover-up of the Robert Kennedy assassination. And I'm positive that the links of the police department to the Strangler case are because this is a provocateur type of operation, similar to the Son of Sam story in New York, and I'll be doing a little bit more about that in a few minutes. It's Mr. Pines who's running against Yvonne Burke for the Attorney General on the Democratic ticket. Mr. Pines took sole responsibility for destroying all police records this last year, just before the elections came up, of people's complaints against the Los Angeles Police Department. There's been unjustifiable homicide, outright murder, slaughtering of Chicanos and blacks, and overturning the justice down there. It's outrageous what the police are doing. The COINTEL program of the FBI and the Operation Chaos of the CIA are still very much in operation there. Nothing has changed since Watergate. And the one thing that's consistent is that the men who cover up keep getting promotions and get the choice to be the candidate for public office. It's Mr. Pines who's running against Yvonne Burke. So you have one cover up versus the other cover-up, and you just have to pick the least from all these horrible people. One of the things I mentioned last week was that I appreciate the fact that the people who take this tape cassette series regularly have more energy. They seem to put more interest into writing. I get constant letters for material and information, and these people also bring back information to me and mail it to me, and there seems to be an ability to play the tapes over and concentrate on them. and then to send articles that pertain or link to what I've said, or people take a new interest in what they're seeing that they didn't see before, and then they maybe and hopefully play the tape over and have something concrete that they can hold on to, like you have a magazine or a book at your fingertips. The tape cassette listeners do have that kind of energy, which I appreciate and which is needed at this time. There is a listener in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, rather, who sent me a book a while back. She sends me constantly books and magazines. Marge is her first name. She had sent me articles and clippings and large files of information and assimilates this material, like many of you have been doing before I even knew you, but are doing it even more so now. And she sent me a book which I didn't read carefully. I had it. I didn't read every single word of it. And there were many sections I hadn't read, and I had it next to the table waiting to read it. And finally, this week, after I made the decision to get off of KLRB and knew there was a reason why I was getting off, there were many reasons why, I sat down and just read this one single book, and the information on that book is going to be enclosed with your cassettes. That also is going to be a new format of Dialogue Conspiracy. Bibliographies will be enclosed with each tape of the sources of material for the broadcast that week, or some of the sources. Because so many of you write to me, I may as well enclose it with the original tape. Now, Marge sent me a book called UFO, Nazi Secret Weapon, with a question mark, written by Mattern and Friedrich, and it comes out of Samizdat Publishers Limited in Quebec, Canada, and you will get this listing of the name. And in this book, it has the diagrams and descriptions of UFOs that were being built by Adolf Hitler, just as he had built those atomic bombs that were used in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Adolf Hitler was working on the UFOs, and it seemed that they could be a very useful weapon, and it was one of the many exchanges that the German Nazis could use as barter for being allowed to leave the country. And in this book, there's a quotation from Time magazine, May 7th, 1945. Police Gazette a while back had an article on Hitler being alive, and I did a program on Dialogue Conspiracy of that quite a while ago. But here is a direct quotation from Time magazine, which I think is interesting, dated, as I say, May the 7th, 1945. It alleges that a grocer by the name of August Wilhelm Bartholdy, in quotes, whose face was his misfortune, looked like the Fuhrer. Grocer Bartholdy had been carefully coached and combed, then sent to Berlin to die in the barricades. He will act as Hitler's trump card, creating a hero legend around the Fuhrer's death, while Hitler himself goes underground. To fasten the hoax on posterity, photographic reporter for the Reich, Heinrich Hoffmann, would be on hand to film Hitler's last moment on the battlefield. The book then goes on to say that witnesses saw Adolf Hitler leave the airport at 4:15 p.m. April the 30th, 1945, and Adolf Hitler was supposed to have died. They allowed witnesses to watch the burning at the bunker of Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun at 3:30 p.m. April the 30th. So 45 minutes later, Hitler was taken to an airport to Norway. He was taken then to Denmark, first flown to Denmark, then to Norway, and then taken to Antarctica. The allegations are that Admiral Byrd located the secret base, Hitler's Shangri-La. In this book also, there's a very important connection that I think has to be exposed. On page 86, it talks about Operation Bernhardt. And I'm very excited about this material because I think all the missing pieces of explaining what's been going on in the world will be put together when we demand that the government break open this, as well as many of the other hoaxes which are linked. Operation Bernhardt, according to these authors, was the code name used for Nazis to continue forging money at the close of World War II. They went into Dachau and Auschwitz and used Jewish men who had been familiar with counterfeiting money, but what they did was they printed the actual German money itself, or got the American and English money so that the government was behind the counterfeiting. And they set up counterfeiting centers for American dollars and British pounds, and they were taken to Switzerland's largest banks and kept there for identification and were identified as being genuine. Then millions and millions of dollars were printed, and the entire Reichsbank treasury, all of Germany's reserves, was emptied out, as well as the printed money that was coming, and this could be used to fund World War III or the Thousand-Year Reich that Adolf Hitler talked about. The World Monetary Fund headquarters in Basel, Switzerland, was missing $15 billion. This $15 billion was in circulation, and there was no reason for it to exist. Now, later we find out that Prince Bernhard, who's a German and had married Queen Juliana in 1937, he was a czarist, white Russian, then a Nazi, working with IG Farben, marries Queen Juliana of Dutch oil, owned the Belgian Congo, the activity there, the Belgian troops had controlled Belgium of the Congo that were now fighting in Zaire and sending Belgian troops back in there. This Bernhard had a mysterious background, and I have bibliography here for you of some articles about Bernhard, and you might go to the library and look them up. And I think that the Bilderberger Society that was formed in 1954 has been identified as the source of selection of our presidents or vice president. That the Bilderberger was formed by international bankers and people in the oil and mineral industries to decide what happened to all the various countries of the world. The banking firms are the nations. The nation didn't matter after World War I, and the nation doesn't matter anymore. And I think Operation Bernhard is a very good name for allowing these billions and billions of dollars to flow all over the world, and would explain why Greece went Nazi, Chile's Nazi, Brazil's Nazi, Argentine. Dialogue Conspiracy has simply been a running commentary on the Nazification of the world. And I think the two pieces of the puzzle came to me this week when I sat back and decided to put Dialogue Conspiracy away in its form. And hopefully, now for the grand push, after 15 years of research, 7 years on the air, hopefully to get people together to ask some hard questions about what's going on in the world. So enclosed with this tape cassette will be the bibliography and information of the book, UFO, Nazi Secret Weapon. And, of course, again, it brings up the whole subject of UFOs, which I won't go into on this program. But I think that we should very seriously begin to organize if you have the energy. If you don't have the energy, there's no way to do it. But I really am going to give a push to getting this information out and around the world. I have a slip of paper called World Watcher International that I'll be sending to various people. It says, listening to the tape cassettes is not enough. What are you going to do with this information? How can the facts be used? How many ways are there to disseminate this information? And then I wonder, just what is the last straw before you people have had enough? Last week I met with a woman here in Carmel Valley whose daughter was literally kidnapped and brainwashed by a $1 million international organization. We'll be talking about it on World Watchers, the new tapes. Her daughter works in a winery up in California, and we'll be identifying more. First, we're going to write to the public officials on why it's a tax-free federal state foundation. The leaders travel all over the world. They have headquarters all over the world and the United States. These people are similar to the secret society, the Thule Society that put Adolf Hitler in. The young people have left home. They give a tithe of their earnings, and they support this foundation, and they are listening to Bach, Beethoven, Mozart. They're preparing for when the world comes down that there will be this white Christian elitist group to take over, and they get books on literal brainwashing, and they're bound with covers of Degas, Renoir, and classical paintings. They have discussions, and their behavior is controlled. And there's nothing that she can do except to investigate the organization because her daughter has been there a long time and remains by it. I met yesterday with another woman, and we'll be doing a show on that soon, who told me the story of her farm. She has some property that's been in the family 100 years. She lives down near Camp Roberts in San Luis Obispo. She's 10 miles away from Atascadero, which is a California mental hospital for electrode and private doctor experimentation on people. This woman was on her farm in 1963, and airplanes came over and sprayed, and without their asking for it or wanting it, a company, a hull company here in nearby area, near the Salinas area, sent over airplanes and sprayed her property, and her husband was on the land that day, and four chickens died immediately, and she took off his clothing and washed his hair, and her neighbors were there and a sister-in-law. And a short time later, her husband was taken to California, University of California, and died of cancer. Shortly after that, she had a breast remover and has cancer. Her neighbor's husband has cancer and died. The wife moved to Oregon just this last year and has a brain tumor and cancer. Her sister-in-law has cancer. She was told they sprayed with a chemical called 2,4-D. She's been to the grand jury. She went to an attorney who represented Hull Company. I happen to know the attorney. The courts will do nothing. The FBI will do nothing. Her cattle have mutilations with sacks cut off, legs cut off. Large amounts of cattle have been stolen. The FBI, the law enforcement, the grand jury will do nothing. And she bought the family had this property for 100 years. And she's lived on it 40 years. And it's kept for the sons. And the woman is desperate. And there's nobody to turn to. She heard about me through a son that lives in Salinas that listens to Dialogue Conspiracy, and through a sister that hears me on KGO. And I have to pass on her information, and we'll go into that. Another woman wrote to me from Bakersfield, a Mrs. McNamara, who is a witness to the John Kennedy assassination, and her husband has been kidnapped, and she's frantic, and she has information for me, and she wants to know what to do. I've talked many times about another close friend of mine whose husband was an inventor for NASA, invented the laser beams for the blind to see and the deaf to hear, and invented a fuel for automobiles and motorbikes that didn't require standard gasoline, and he was literally kidnapped and taken to Utah and separated from the family. I got a letter from this week from a man at Soledad who told me about the inhuman treatment that they're getting there, the drugs, the harassment, the overdose of drugs, and they're kept like zombies. And he's desperate. And I talked about an employee of Veterans Hospital, happens to be a researcher into the assassinations, but cannot confront or be public, and he works with various researchers, and one that he worked with that died recently. He works at the Veterans Hospital and said the reason that the certain hospitals in California can say that they're not linked to the CIA mind control is that they send their cases to trailers, and they're doing experimentations right under his nose in the Veterans Hospital. So while he works on who killed a candidate for President of the United States or who killed the President of the United States, on the one hand, he has to be quiet because he's a federal employee and can't speak up about what he's seeing, identical to people at Dachau and Auschwitz who saw these things happening and couldn't speak up. I gave a rundown last week or the week before in Dialogue Conspiracy of things that were happening to me personally, to people around me who are dying or being touched or hurt. But these are people just in 1 week who have brought me sources of information about brainwashing, spraying, and cancer on land. And if the cattle are eating this off this land that's been sprayed and are carrying cancer, similar to the cases in Michigan, you're going to eat that cattle. You're going to buy it, and this fatal spray is going to come right into your systems. And that's why we have to do something all together, and we have to get it together in some way of discussion groups, as I said before, maybe starting groups, world watchers in your home of 10 people or 8 people or 5 in pockets of wherever these tapes go. Because what I'm talking about my experiences this last week with the kidnapped daughter and investigating at the spring in the camp, the prisoner at Soledad, the mind control at the Veterans Hospital, the inventor that was kidnapped, the witnesses that are kidnapped, this information cannot be handled in a half hour a week. That's why it takes an hour a week to go in depth, and it takes time between you and me to share this information. Now, I took the cattle mutilation story that Mrs. Rose gave me and already wrote to Mr. Adams in Paris, Texas, and Ed Sanders in Woodstock, New York, who have newsletters on cattle mutilations. And I'm going to devote time to people who take the tapes to disseminate what they send to me, and it's going to be what I call Dialogue Conspiracy, was two or more people going back and forth sharing material with each other. But now world watchers will be even more active, and I keep track of who's doing research around the country, and hopefully we'll get out a newsletter and a printout for you as time goes on, maybe in the fall. I'm hoping to get that started in conjunction with the tapes, or get the tapes printed out and just mailed out in printed form. The purpose of being informed more, to get more active on my part, as I said before, there's been a lot of apathy and lethargy, and I made a list of the priorities that I think are important, and I have a copy of this printout sheet. If you want it, you can write to me. The purpose of getting out of your apathy or lethargy and turning the world around is multifold, but I'd say that there's five main things that I want to do at first and reach first. Number one, what would you do if Adolf Hitler were alive and directing the show in Antarctica? What would you do if you found out that all of the things that we've been talking about, the mind control, the health control, the germs, the disease center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Arley Foundation with its population control, the Utah Medical Center that goes into engineering and chemicals for population and medical solutions. What if all these things, these Interpol programs we've done and these hoaxes, the moon hoax and all these things were done because billions of dollars taken out of the entire printing processes of the Germans since World War II, or the Bilderberger, the Bernhardt connections were real? What would you do if Hitler were alive? I think we should demand that the U.S. government send down various Nazi hunters, Simon Wiesenthal, members of the Justice Department, certain attorneys have taken a position in exposing these conspiracies, certain writers like Mr. Bowyard, who wrote Operation Mind Control, certain authors that are on the line for investigative purposes, Harold Weisberg, who wrote Whitewash 1, 2, 3, and 4, and Penn Jones, Jr., who's written books and has a newsletter on the assassination, Forgive My Griefs, Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. Take the past people who've done work, Jim Garrison from New Orleans, a district attorney, former district attorney, who was afraid that the Nazis were going to take over after World War II and vowed he would never let it happen, and then made links of Clay Shaw and the international trademark to the Reinhardt-Galen Nazi connection to the United States. What would you do if Hitler was alive and directing the show? Do you even care if he walked down the street? John Wilkes Booth came back to the United States in the form of a circus performer, a sideshow, and told everyone he was John Wilkes Booth after being allowed to escape and go to India. Could a man say Adolf Hitler and get as much money as Charlie Chaplin playing Adolf Hitler? I think our number one problem is to send mail to congressmen and not let them write it off. Prove that Admiral Byrd in 1946 didn't see the Nazi headquarters down there. Admiral Byrd came home from Antarctica and was put in a hospital, and from that point on was silenced. He saw these German compounds, and the area was closed off as an army base. Two, we must expose Operation Bernhardt. This is why the stock market's going crazy, why the money value has no meaning. Money is printed for those people that want it and need it. Those master forgers can get what they want, and the rest of us can't get a piece of the action. Was the name Operation Bernhardt the code name for Mr. Bernhardt, Bilderberger, Nazi czarist, IG Farben agent? And are they going into Africa? Zaire was a Belgian Congo. It's the first country in Africa to have Nazi German rockets on the continent of Africa. And Jimmy Rockefeller Trilateral Carter is now sending troops to Zaire and the Belgian Congo for their copper and for their strategic position to take over the entire continent of Africa. What would you do if Hitler were alive? And what about Nazi czarist Bernhardt with his CIA connections that merely were exposed for a peep about a year ago and then hushed up? The third most important thing is to break apart the Hughes Medical Institute and the Arley Foundation in Washington, D.C. Take the government out of the medical business. I've done that on tapes before. I sincerely believe it. If I have to say it every week, I will. They're going into the solution of medicine through chemicals and engineering, and I have those documents. These are from the Hughes Medical Institute, that the medicine is the fourth largest industry in the United States, And we've said that before. The oil, narcotics, and weapon industry, and then medicine. And medicine will do the genocide. That's why it's going to be the fourth biggest industry, according to the U.S. CIA Defense Department combine. I think you have to close the medical institute, and you have to get the government out of that germ control center in Atlanta, Georgia, and put medicine in the hands of every private doctor in every institution around the country, and let them have annual conventions, because a computer can put into one place what each individual is saying, but those individuals should do it on a personal basis and not be trained in federal medical schools or federal centers such as Georgia, where the garden plot is and the plans to take over the United States are located. The fourth thing is to demand that we break open the Mormon Utah microfilm shops, those caves in there where every non-Mormon on planet Earth is listed. There's millions of dollars that have gone from computers just from the LAPD alone. If you sign your name on an anti-abortion petition, if you were pro-abortion, if you were for legalizing marijuana, every petition you sign is put into computers into Salt Lake City, and it's none of their business what we do. And it's none of their business to put non-Mormon names in there and to have microfilm going at the tune of millions and millions of dollars every month. Endless miles of microfilm in their caves. And I can say in their goddamn caves, because I don't think God or religion is to keep microfilm of every person on the planet Earth down to the year 600, which is their goal. Now, the Mormons may want to bury their dead relatives, but they should have a sign slip from a present Mormon. Yes, you can put me and my Mormon family in there, but no non-Mormons, and they can't go back to Adam and put every single person in there, particularly since the Mormon Church has been linked to the Central Intelligence Agency, to J. Walter Thompson, to the White House plumbers, to the secret team, to the Pentagon, to Mullen Associates in Washington, D.C., a conduit of defense and CIA counterintelligence, and links of their agents to Interpol with original Nazi Meyer Heydrich's lists and genealogies that were brought into France, and directly linked to the police departments in Salt Lake City. We have to get those names out of there and get in those caves and send as many people to Utah. I want to be in there. I want to go to Utah, and I want to go to Antarctica, and I want to select a team and break down their goddamn, pardon me, but I couldn't say it on KLRB, doors. We should go to the Medical Institute. During the anti-war movement in 1967, there were 21 or 22 booths around Kezar Stadium in San Francisco protesting the war. And I had a sign and a placard saying the next demonstration should be in the National Archives to demand the evidence on who killed John Kennedy. The war escalated 2 days after John Kennedy was assassinated, and that wasn't even proven in documents until the Pentagon Papers came out in 1971. But I knew that the war escalated in 1967, and the only way they could do it is to kill John Kennedy and then go full scale in Asia. And the way to stop the Asian war or the Cambodian bombings or the Kent State or anything else that happened in Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam was to demand an explanation of how the war escalated. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, and it went on, a provocateur type of thing, which the parties involved admit was misinformation. In quotes, the press secretary said on radio TV last week, the president didn't have the right information. How come President Johnson didn't have the right information of how we got into war when Mae Brussels had it in Carmel, California, and he has a budget of billions of dollars for espionage, and I don't have any budget like that at all. I think the last thing after opening the Mormon archives is to demand that every congressional member paid by Howard Hughes' organization, the Korean CIA, the Greek, Iranian lobbyists, be exposed and stop the hoaxes of history. The main hoaxes of history being, for example, that Lee Harvey Oswald never fired a gun at John Kennedy. Sirhan Sirhan never got any bullets into Senator Robert Kennedy. James Earl Ray didn't shoot a weapon at Reverend Martin Luther King. The House Select Committee on Assassinations is a CIA mafia cover-up. Robert Blakey and the House members are a total fraud. They're an insult to researchers' intelligence. And these are my goals, to help people see that these things should be done. There should be organizations among college students, among neighbors, among people who care. They affect our news as it's told truthfully or untruthfully. It affects our minds, whether we're going to be carted off by their chemical engineering population studies, whether they're going to induce cancer in our food. How far will they go? How far have they come? And I will be continuing next week. A tape will go out every Friday, 1 hour tape. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. We'll continue the news, and I hope that the new format is satisfactory for those that take it. And those who have not heard the programs before, you can order all the past shows, and of course you can subscribe into the future. And until next week, this is Mae Brussel. Your next tape will go out on June the 2nd. I didn't have time to go into Son of Sam, but I'll do it next week for sure, and the Wicker Man.